You're listening to Audio Culture on 95 BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Yes, yes. This is Midnight Sun, The Human Instinct. Wow. And of course, it could only be the recommendation of the one and only Gareth Shoot, who's joining us for Audio Culture to talk about the brand new Aotearoa heavy metal timeline that you've put together. It's wicked.
Yeah, I've been trying to get more metal slowly on Audio Culture. Did some of the modern bands like Alien Weaponry and Shepherd's Reign have profiles on there, but I wanted to try and... I did a top 10 a little while ago, five years back of metal, to try and give a very vague outline, but I thought I need to slowly start colouring in the lines. And this is kind of a work in progress, but if you're interested in local metal, definitely check it out, and definitely like hit me up if you think someone important's missing. But the first question was where to start it, and so that's where Human Instinct come in, because I was thinking, you know, heavy metal... something kind of applied retrospectively, you know, when Black Sabbath started or whatever, they weren't thinking, oh, we're a metal band, or you know, Led Zeppelin or Hendrix. There were all these bands moving from heavy blues into this harder sound.
Yeah.
But they weren't like, we're going to start metal. And so it was the same in New Zealand with Human Instinct. They just wanted to be Hendrix-y. There was this guy, Doug Gerabine, who was a legendary New Zealand guitarist who'd gone to England, who had these amazing songs, including this one, Midnight Sun, that he'd written. And Human Instinct were looking for kind of material. They had an amazing guitarist, Billy Teague.
Wow.
Senior, obviously.
Was he actually
father of like Mara Teague and father of crazy anti-vax Billy Teague, the blues guitarist and stuff.
I didn't know that was Mara Teague's dad. What?
Yeah, they're related and stuff.
And that's so crazy.
So he can play like this. So he had this real Hendrix sound. And this is like 1970, but when you hear the intro, they're like cowbell. And then that like soloing is just so metal, I feel like, that it really was the like kind of precursor of where that sound was coming from. But a lot of different sort of things went in the mix. Like the timeline also has early on, there's Timberjack, who are actually kind of a folk band, but they did this cover of this song, Come to the Sabbath. Which was this kind of folky devil worshipy song. And so they did a music video with like a naked woman walking through the forest, and they were all dressed in monk clothes and for some sort of sacrifice. And they actually played it on TVNZ.
What?
And stuff, even though she was topless and stuff. You can watch it on NZN Screen. It's
what
pretty
year
funny
was this?
To imagine. Like 73, I think, 74.
Wow.
So it's crazy. Obviously, it got all these complaints and got pulled immediately. But so there was that black magic side coming in, and then Human Instinct, who didn't really have that so much. We're bringing the sound, and that was kind of building towards metal rather than it coming all at once. And then all those bands came here over that time, like Black Sabbath played at like Sweetwater's, and they had a big cross on the stage, and they tried to set it alight, but the roadies couldn't get it alight, so they had to find like fire, like sort of flammable stuff to spray on it to like get it to light. So there was
the
like
ultimate
awkward couple of minutes where they're running around like, it won't light.
The ultimate, can I borrow your lighter?
That's Led Zepp played at like Western Springs, and one of the great things that's embedded in the timeline actually is someone found some footage just a few years ago of Led Zepp playing, and someone else had the like sound from the sound desk, like quite a bad like pirate recording from the sound desk, and he synced it up. So you can watch this video of Led Zeppelin playing Western Springs with little bits of this, the desk playing to it. It's so rad.
That's so epic,
man. You can
man.
Really get a sense of how they were, but it's kind of a little bit budget.
it's that classic thing in New Zealand music where I feel like there's so much of our music starts with someone big from overseas coming here and inspiring us. Like I think about barbecue reggae, and it's like Bob Marley came here in the 70s.
Yeah.
And a group of kids were like, we really love Bob Marley. We want to make that kind of music. Was it the same with Led Zeppelin? It was like people saw that and were like, let's make some of that.
Yeah, I think so. Because there weren't really music videos, but I guess by the maybe 1980, stuff like that was starting to come through, and that was when there was the new wave of British heavy metal.
Yeah.
And so the scene moved at different times. You know, that had a biggest influence in Wellington. So there's a whole period in the 80s where you get all Rose Bayonet and like those sort of early bands, and there's like a whole audio culture article about that scene. It's so funny, but it's kind of not even what you call metal now. And that this Human Instinct song is almost harder than some of that stuff.
Wow.
But that's where like Paul Martin, who's now in Devilskin, started, in one of those bands and
Whoa.
Stuff way back then.
Yeah, I've seen the Rose Bayonet profile, and it's like they're like such good looking dudes, eh? Like
it's just all about having long hair and just playing rock and wearing denim and stuff. And so that changed, you know, the first thing that came through, actually a big part of it was to do with BFM, you know.
Whoa.
They had a show, there was a guy here, Jeff Wright, I think it's the right name, and he joined the guy who was doing a sort of punk metal show, and then he, when the other guy left, he turned it into a hard, fast and heavy show.
Oh,
and at
what?
The same time, he started this band Enigma, who were a speed metal band, which was the new style of metal, which was like, we're just going to do metal but twice as fast. And so Enigma, like some of those guys are still around, like Dave Goodison, who was later in Garage Land and City Newton Bombers was in that band, and Simon Nichols, who now plays bass for like Head Like a Hole and stuff. But yeah, they played speed metal, and so that was one wave of, and Sheehead were part of that wave, like their first EP, if you go back and listen to it, it's like all speed metal.
Man.
And then there was this whole other wave in Christchurch of like super dark, sort of early death metal and black metal and stuff. And the guy down there, Bruce Ray, he just ran a t-shirt store, but he decided, I'm going to start importing cassettes of metal. So he just had two racks in his t-shirt
store. Epic.
But every Friday they'd have people over and like have listening sessions. And so many things came out of that, like Sinistros Diablos, who did the album Opus One, which is like this legendary metal band, and Human, the metal band, it's like the longest lasting metal band, came out of that scene.
Crazy.
And they started like Satan Fest. They had their own festival that went for like 20 years. So yeah, if you look at the course, it's funny watching how metal goes in and out of fashion, goes into different styles. I mean, Bruce Ray, the guy from Christchurch, had a slot on CV on the TV, so he could actually proselytize for it. But by the end of the 90s, it was really hard to find slots like that. And metal really, I guess it was just because of new metal and grunge and wave after wave of heavy music, long-haired heavy music that took people away from metal. So it was only the hard-out kind of people. And I'm still kind of looking how to fill that gap. I think I'm going to add something about Cannibal Corpse. Or like Backyard Burial, actually.
Yeah.
Backyard Burial, because they were like a big Wellington band. Anyway, that's why I do encourage people to get back to me and check out this timeline.
It's real epic. Yeah, it's really epic. I actually, funny enough, I was at Flying Out the other day cleaning some records, and a Cannibal Corpse record came up, and I was like, what is this? Those album covers were epic.
Yeah, they were an overseas band, I think. I think I said the wrong name. Backyard Burial is who I meant. But yeah, you can see how vinyl is still such a big thing in that scene.
Yeah.
It's so funny to see like Beast Wars goes to like number one each time they release an album, because everyone just goes in and buys it on vinyl, and it just like doesn't need a kill on streaming as much, because people buy like hundreds of copies of it in that first week of release, because the album cover is so rad. And even some of the underground bands now, just have epic album covers, even like Ulcerate or something.
Yeah,
like,
Ulcerate, shut up.
Yeah, they have a really dark imagery that goes with them. But yeah, I think check it out. The other good thing I will mention just while I'm here before I finish up is if you're interested in like gay history as well, there's a new article about Mojo's Nightclub, which has a whole thing in trans history in the 70s and Auckland as well. So I encourage people to look out for that. But yes, the metal timeline. Just to wrap up, I thought I'd bring us to the present and just show how metal's now... Yeah, it's kind of interesting how Alien Weaponry and this band we're going to play, Shepherd's Reign, have used it to express their sort of cultural background. It's so funny. And I think audiences in metal, there is a wing of metal that's like war metal, which is kind of quite anti-immigrant and quite, you know, toxic white guys. But a big part of metal is just really accepting cool guys. And they're like, I posted this timeline to the New Zealand Metal page on Facebook, and I've had great conversation. Aww. And I'm really like encouraged to like, I keep fixing bits and deciding what to put in and out of it, and it's been a really great process to be communicating with the community. So I'll keep working on the timeline.
I love that you're really like, this is a work in progress. I'm not the like, you know, I'm not the god of this project. Like it's malleable. You can tell me about your stuff. That's so cool.
Yeah, I think audio culture partly is like trying to engage with the community, and then hopefully other writers who are really into metal slowly come into it. Like found one guy, the drummer in Bullet Belts, who's a bit of a historian who might do some future writing for audio culture. So hopefully our depth in metal will just continue. But I wanted to play Iaga by Shepherd's Reign, because I just think the way they used the Sasa rhythm at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like there's a great story on their profile where they went back and played like Samoa, and these little kids were up the front just mucking around. And then they heard that rhythm and they just knew it from the dance. And it's like so out of context, like, you know, in the dance, it's just like clapping and just very like fun. And then in the song is like dun, 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 dun. But yeah, so I hope people appreciate that and check out the metal timeline on audio culture.
Awesome. This is Anger the Shepherd's Reign. Thank you, Gareth Shute, as always, legend. Tulalo! Enough! Tulalo! Enough! Batia! Batia! Luopati, Luopati, Totova, Totova.
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.